I give you the handle, Mr. Christian Hand. He is here to share the music with you, dissecting it so you don't have to. Christian, it's yours.
Hello, everybody. Morning, Captain. Before I go into this, I don't want anyone to think that I'm not upset at all that I wasn't mentioned on the television this week. Mark's like, I just want to thank Andy and the producers and the ballet parking guy, the guy that makes bagels in the store down is awesome.
Phil, yeah.
I was waiting. I was like, he's gonna close with me. He's gonna close with me because I'm the big guy.
Big,
you know,
finale.
Nothing. Not a sausage.
My bad.
No, it's all right, dude. I'll punish you right now. In fact, so I know that you're a big fan of this particular guy, so I thought I would bring in what we're going to start with. I'm going to jump straight to the vocal because I really do think that this is one of the greatest vocals ever recorded. I've said that before, but this, I might actually mean this one. So here we go. We'll start with the vocal.
We're no strangers to love.
Yes.
You know the rules, and so do I.
Yes.
You just got rickrolled.
You just got rickrolled for not mentioning me on the television.
Hey, wait. I had to wait a second to make sure he wasn't kidding.
I just want to tell you how
lovely.
I'm
all those followers on Twitter just dropped
left.
You.
Yep.
Okay. I do this for you, Christian. The next television appearance I have, I open with you.
You wear a t-shirt with my face on it, buddy. All right, so we're going to start with the real stuff. I rickrolled you.
Oh, man, I wanted Ellen that. Moore. I wanted Crocodile Rock.
It's coming.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people really sad you didn't do Crocodile Rock.
I know. Actually, it seems to be an even split between the two.
But can I tell you that every time I think of that, I laugh out loud. That was hysterical.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, so let's start with this one.
Oh, God. Oh, get ready, people. It's going to get sick.
Brother Marvin.
All right, so we're gonna dip into "Mercy, Mercy Me," written by Mr. Marvin Gaye himself, actually. Second single off the "What's Going On" album, sold over a million of just this song, which is, you know, that's unheard of.
Wow. Yeah.
Especially in this day and age. So,
and that was a song. Am I wrong? Isn't that one that the label didn't want to release? They thought
no, it was the last one. That was the
one before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it had already been released once that year. Gotcha. All right. So the Funk Brothers. If you haven't seen the documentary, they're on this one. Actually, I did some research on the Funk Brothers, and it was like the Wu-Tang Clan of its day. And by the conclusion, there was like 26 members of the Funk Brothers. It really wasn't. So this is the basically everybody except for the strings. And the piano in Celeste, which is played by Marvin himself, is the Funk Brothers. So here's the drums. No idea who played them because, as I said, there was 26. So this is the drumming and percussion section. And it sounds like a full mix, but that's just mic bleed from the other guys playing in the room at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. Just tight.
So tight. In the pocket. That sound that you hear in the finished recording where it almost sounds like that, what is it? Yeah, it's like a submarine ping. What is
just
doing
verbed.
That? That's just reverb?
Yeah, it's probably off of a plate, like an old plate verb. All right, so there's your percussion section. The bass on this one is interesting because it wasn't played by James Jameson, which everyone assumes. It was actually played by a Hungarian guy by the name of Bob Babbitt, who
famous Hungarian name Babbitt,
known LKN, and he he actually also played on "Signed, Sealed, and Delivered." By Mr. Stevie Wonder, one of the few that he didn't play bass on. So this is a white Hungarian guy laying it down with the Funk Brothers on bass. Octave slide. All right, So I put them both together so you could hear the rhythm section in its entirety with the bass and the drums on this one. So this is groovy. And it's just a little behind. Just so.
It's kind of laying back just a little
bit. Yeah, it's a summer morning. So there's your rhythm section. And then the guitars on this are really interesting in that it just does the same thing over and over again. And one of the things I don't think you really get about this song when you listen to it is that it does this, the whole intro is this weird climb out of these strange minor notes actually into the song. So on the guitar, you get to hear it. It sounds awful when it first starts, like they're out of tune. Mm-hmm. So this is just the two guitars. There's only two guitars, one on the left and one on the right. And this is both of them together. Random guys from the Funk Brothers. And that's it.
They just repeat that.
They
all
just do
the
this for the entire song. No distortion, no change of sound.
It's all muted
just
and
does this. So that's your guitar tones. So then you got your piano, which is actually played by Marvin Gaye, which I didn't know. And the crazy thing about this piano track is hear how loud everything around him is when he was playing it.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm really surprised by some of the stuff that you bring in. You hear it broken down, like the Queen and so forth. It sounds cacophonous. I mean, it just sounds like, how would all of this lay together and sound good? But the sum is so much greater than the parts.
All right, so here's the Celeste, which is also played, because I really want to get to the strings and stuff, because it's mind-blowing. All right, so this is the Celeste part that Marvin played.
It's like a tiny piano.
Yeah.
Like Schroeder's
piano.
He's
got a very small piano. So there's that track. And then, so here we go. This is where it really starts. Because this is the same thing where this is like the unsung hero of the entire song. So what I did was I broke it out. So here's just the wind instruments that are playing in pretty much from halfway through the song through the end. So this is the start of just the winds. That chord is insane. Things where during the final mix he was like, I mean, you guys don't want to make that any louder at all? You guys want to keep it that quiet?
It's great. It sounds like the Brady Bunch episode where Tiger ran away.
So sad. Never came back. All right, so there's your winds.
So, and then, that's my favorite part so far.
It's
God,
incredible.
It's beautiful.
And then there's the string section, which is going to really do you in.
This was in the song. This sounds like Peter and the Wolf.
No,
this
it's
is
ridiculous.
Crazy.
It's like Psycho right there.
Yeah.
So in the next one, I put the wind and the strings together so you can hear what that alto. And this is all David Van de Pet, or whatever his name is, who did most of Marvin's orchestration stuff.
It's this type of stuff right here that's always blown me away, how somebody can musically hear this in their head and extrapolate it and write it down.
So there's your winds and strings, and then there's the sax solo, which is interesting because it's actually two different dudes cut in half. So he's one starts and then the other one picks up, and it's Ed Fontaine and then a guy named Wild Bill Moore who played on a bunch of stuff. So.
See,
dirty.
Sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
More jazzy than I even would imagine would be in there.
I mean, that note is nailed. The guesswork. So there's your little sax solo. So this is the Andantes again, who are the same girls that sang on the last one that we played from Marvin. So here's, and it's him as well. So the backgrounds are pretty minimal on this one. It's just ooze. So here's them doing that.
Is this
the main vocal?
Yeah, the hit wrong one.
This might be the main vocal.
Things ain't what they used to be. No. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be. No. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying.
The phrasing is insane.
Yeah.
And how quietly he's actually singing it.
That's the thing that took me.
Yeah.
I've heard this song 50 million times.
I thought he was belting.
Absolutely.
He's not. He's not whispering, but it's dangerously close. In comparison to Grapevine, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shocked me.
And the words that he's saying, like mercury and radiation.
Fish full of mercury and all that
stuff. And making
stuff.
It sound so poetic. Yeah.
When I first heard this, I thought, well, this is not the track they used.
Right.
This is not the take. Can't be.
My Lord, my sweet Lord. Whee.
I mean, it's like a prayer. It really is like a prayer.
And I'll also out myself.
The saxophone and the headphones.
I just today, and I've heard Mercy, Mercy Me 50 million times. I just realized today, this moment, that this is a socially conscious song.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was a great
really?
Vibe.
Yeah, no, it's all about
Earth
it.
Earth Day like song, yeah. Through and through.
All right, so next, there's this, this should be the, I don't know what's actually next at this point. What track is this?
15.
Okay, so we did skip one. So this should be the vocals and the backgrounds together.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky.
It's absurd.
Animals and birds who live nearby are dying.
But his phrasing on the end of each of the tags where he starts to roll over himself, and then when you hear it inside the song, you're like, oh, that's why he did that.
Now, let me ask you at this point, creatively, and when you're in the studio, and especially with the song in a Marvin Gaye, who's going to decide what the backup vocalists are going to do? Is that Marvin or is that the producer?
I would imagine that was Marvin. I mean,
at this point in his career, it's Marvin.
He's, and especially one that he wrote, I mean, I would imagine that he's all over it. The David Van de Pet stuff is... I think they worked together on that, but this guy was in charge. It's Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
So at the end of the song, it does this really weird thing, and I couldn't find out what it is, and analyzing it, they did something to his voice, but I have no idea how you would have done this back in this day. So here's the sound on its own. So I'm trying to work out if it was a mellotron, and the mellotron back in the day was a really interesting instrument. It was basically a keyboard, but attached to each key was an 8-track tape.
What?
And it would loop, and when you would press the key, it would engage the head on the 8-track tape. So on the Beatles, that flam, flam, flam.
Right.
Life is a, that thing is a mellotron.
A Strawberry Fields?
Yeah, and they were a nightmare because it was 88 8-track keys. So it sounds like that. So when you put it in the context of the song, it's this weird sound. Which sounds like angels.
And demons.
And demons. On the throwaway at the end.
Yeah, right here.
So it wasn't somebody singing it was actually being played. And that's the only, I did tons of research, couldn't find anything. And that's the only assumption that I can make is that they had worked out, that mellotron did.
10cc did something on I'm Not in Love.
Mm-hmm.
They just recorded days and days of and then they would put a different one on each fader and play the mixing board like an instrument. It almost sounds like that. It sounds like something's being punched in it.
There was definitely really there's some sort of playing happening. I was just trying to work out because it couldn't be tape looping at this point. And as I say, there's no information about it anywhere. So I'm gonna go with mellotron and. So here's the whole song together, and now you can hear all of the bits that we've thrown in.
Double tracked?
Yeah, there's on the thing, it's not the whole way, I don't think, because on the master there's only a bit of it that's like that. So I think he goes to his own here.
Yeah.
And now you hear it and you realize that he was singing really quietly.
The decay on that.
The reverb.
This lasts forever. It goes for days.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby us dies.
And that guitar part is perfect for it. What else would you play?
It just rolls the entire time. Now, this is probably a plate reverb, and one of the crazy things about plate reverb. So back in the day, when you didn't have digital versions of stuff, you had to use the real thing. And what the plate reverb was actually a huge plate. It was 6 feet long, 8 feet long, and it was made of metal. And at one end would be a microphone, at the other end would be a speaker. And then as the sound from the speaker hit the plate, it would reverberate it, and then the microphone would pick it up. Well, you would then in the studio have these hand cranks, and you would go bzzz, and then this would connect to cables that would then go all the way to the reverb room, and then it would move the microphone up and down to shorten and lengthen the length of the reverb.
It's like a Rube Goldberg mouse.
That was crazy.
Contraption.
And Hendrix had like five of them, and they were five different. And then I was at Phil Ramone's studio, who's a very famous producer, passed away. But he had all of Hendrix's plates in a barn that he was using, and it was insane. Anyway, here's the this part is this is where you hear the. So one of the things is weird in context is that so the latter half of that, a third of the song is pretty much all instrumental.
Yeah.
And there's no way that that would be allowed to be a hit today.
Right.
There's no way, because the record label would don't bore us, get to the chorus and then beat the chorus all the way out to the end of the song. There would be no, you know, ability to say I'm going to stretch out and get kind of weird on this ending because, you know, that's what the song deserves.
That's what she said.
That's exactly. There would be some sort of like control that would come in and be like, no, no, we need the hook to get out so that people.
Right.
But because it's A, Marvin, and B, a much more, you know, obviously open time in music as far as that's concerned, this sold a million records, which is incredible.
And also, go ahead, Gina. Well,
did I hear Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus?
Yeah, Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus. That's
is that
why,
a thing?
Yeah, that's why
amazing.
Every song that you hear on the radio now, you got to get to the chorus within
45 seconds.
If you can get it to, now they would prefer if you can get it to 20. So you got like half a verse and then you got to get straight to the chorus, or you just start with the chorus immediately.
Start with the chorus,
yeah.
Right.
So now, Mercy, Mercy Me was before What's Going On?
No, it's the second single after.
Okay,
it.
Because What's Going On is where Barry Gordy said, you're not releasing
You're not doing
this.
It. Yeah.
And Marvin had to put his foot down.
Yeah. And he
what?
Said, yeah.
So, yeah. So, and so, what's
Were you
going-
listening to the last time I was here?
Well, I'm confused.
I mean, is it just me?
Wait. You mean, do we talk about this during
yeah.
Def Leppard?
Yeah. No.
So, What's Going On was Marvin's first socially conscious thing.
Yeah.
And so only because of his foot down on that one did we get to hear Mercy, Mercy Me.
Great.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Hand, if that's your really your name.
Yeah.
So you know a lot about what other producers have done.
I do.
What sort of music do you make in your little hovel?
Mm-hmm. I do everything because I think that there's nothing that you can't learn from. I've done country records. I did my friend's father's midlife crisis record, and it was all Puerto Rican, Latin American rhythms, and we flew people in and
nice.
All to my little apartment in Hollywood, which was weird. But thank you for the segue. I just finished a record with somebody I was teamed up with for Island Records, and then we eventually got her off her deal.
That's what this next track
is. We're going to play a little bit of my favorite song off the record, which is available on iTunes and blah, 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 blah. It's Alexa Mello, and this is produced in my apartment. This is her. She's 20 years old. She was 18 when she wrote and performed this, and the vocal on this is mind-blowing.
What's the name of the song?
Demoted.
No stranger.
Sex.
Still fresh on your lips, taste of skin, words so thick, with contradictions. 2 weeks later, you're non-existent. You know I earned more than a bit just an acquaintance of yours.
And then I have my friend Will, who plays in Jay-Z's horn section, play this trumpet solo.
Jay-Z's trumpet player here?
It's a mute.
I love that sound.
Yeah, it's crazy. He uses an old toilet plunger. Which is... So anyway, that's Demoted from Alexa Mello.
It's everything I love about Massive Attack and Portishead.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that one sounds like... The crazy thing about that record is everything sounds different. She got signed when she was 14.
Oh.
And went through... It was a nightmarish journey. We finished an entire album and then they scrapped it 33 months after we were done with it and told her that she was going to redo it. So...
Record labels don't do that kind of thing.
It's unheard of. So there's actually an episode of my podcast where I tell the whole story and play some of the music. And
Alexa Mello, M-E-L-L is the name. You can find it on iTunes.
On iTunes, we put it everywhere, so there's no doubt. And you can order the record, which I urge you to, because it really is. It's the best work I've ever done.
Nice. We're the lucky ones here. This man's name is Christian Hand. He dissects the music so you don't have to. And if folks want to chat you up, where can they locate you?
Please find me on Instagram at King Trut. I'm on Facebook at Christian James Hand and somewhere on Twitter, but I have no idea. And I just want to thank
Christian James Hand, LKN, right?
Yeah, LKN, which is, I don't know if you know this, but it's actually an accepted and much known abbreviation for lake. Yeah. Did you know that? It's crazy.
It's from the Swedish Laken.
Yeah, which means, of course, a large expanse of water.
If you just joined us, this is Christian and Andrew giving me the business. Christian, we will see you in 2 weeks. And as always, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for bringing me in.